Hi, my name is Tara Kachaturoff, and I'm the host of Michigan Entrepreneur, where we feature businesses from startup to stellar. Today, I have as my special guest, Aaron Sapirsky, who is the owner of Aaron's Estate Sales. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I'm really excited to talk to you. And we actually had you on the program many, many years ago. And now we're having you back with the new and improved Aaron's Estate Sales. We have so much more to cover. But before we do that, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and what led you up to starting the business that we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I come from a background, you know, my family, I grew up very low income and definitely didn't do great in school. I struggled throughout school, but I always had like a passion for helping people. And so as a kid, when I was about 14, 15, I started volunteering, did a lot of volunteer work throughout my teenage years. And then when I was done with that, I ended up, you know, working for someone that did estate sales. What I found was treasure hunting and being able to find something in a house that people didn't know about that was worth a lot of money, and being able to realize that for others and help others sell those items became a huge passion for me as I was looking for a purpose, another purpose after, you know, helping people, volunteering, making no money for so many years. I just wanted to find something that I could have a passion for. And I found that in estate sales and helping people downsize. So that I basically started, I realized that the estate sale industry could be brought into the 21st century. There wasn't a whole lot of people doing it professionally. And so I decided to go all in on estate sales. And now I've grown it into this, semi-massive, definitely massive estate sale company, probably largest estate sale company in the nation. But a very good company that helps a ton of people every single year get through the process of downsizing, liquidating, and all the stuff that people end up with when people pass away.
When we talk about like your interest in this and, you know, volunteering for many years, when was it, or what was that tipping point that where you said, hey, I think I can create this into a business versus, you know, taking the other path and going and working for somebody else? Like, what was it that made you want to do that? Do you come from an entrepreneurial family? Did you always want to have a business of your own? What was that thing for you?
Yeah, so I definitely didn't come from an entrepreneur background, and I didn't work as a young kid, I wasn't made to produce anything or exchange with my family by like chores and like working hard or things like that until my mom met a guy who she ended up marrying, who was an entrepreneur. And he would give me tasks to do work for him, and I worked my butt off, and then he would pay me. And I saw him wake up early every single day at 4 o'clock in the morning and then work till 10, 11 o'clock at night, working hard for himself. And I also saw the freedoms that he was able to have because of that, the things that our family was now able to do because he was an entrepreneur. So really that was my first taste working for him. He had me do his lawn one time. I was probably 12 or 13 years old, and it was the hardest thing I'd ever done. And at the end, he was like, so how much should I pay you? And I was like, well, what do you mean? I don't know. Like, you should tell me what you're paying me. Like, you should give me, I don't know, $12 an hour, $15 an hour. I was like, I have no idea. And he was like, well, let me know what your time is worth, and I'll pay you that for what you did for me. I appreciate it. And it just totally like broke my mind. I was like, I don't know, you know, what to charge. And that gave me the first taste of work, of hard work. And then, you know, he would make me move bricks from one pile to another pile, and do all sorts of really, really hard labor work, which was really, really good for me, because it gave me a work ethic finally that I didn't have before, which ended up helping me when I decided to create my own business. It was really just like a flip, like, I need to do this. I need to produce. I need to create. I have this data, this knowledge about antiques and collectibles and vintage. I need to turn it into something. So that's how it kind of started.
That is like the most incredible story. And that is going to stick with me forever and ever. What your dad did for you and asking you what you were worth,
Yeah.
and making you had to take action to create the next step of what was going to happen, the payment, and just the kinds of things he did with you. These are amazing lessons. These are such big things. I mean, this is incredible. This is so different than the model so many people are raised with, where they just plug themselves into a job and they're told what to do. It's like you are a passive person in your life. You're passive in the whole experience of life versus what you were doing, where you were active. It completely, like you said, it flipped everything. I mean, wow. I mean, even when you were telling the story, I could feel the changes in my brain, because that is such a different perspective. Can you say just a little bit more about that, and maybe how it's influenced you, or even what you've taught your own children? Like, that is so big. I mean, this is great. what an amazing lesson this person taught you. It's gold. It's gold. Absolute gold.
Absolutely. I have a 9-year-old daughter right now, and she's not allowed to just sit around and do nothing. Like, she has to produce. She has to, because that's the difference. Like, when, they say idle hands are devil's playground. Like, when a kid is just sitting there doing nothing, it really puts them in a bad position. That's where I was, up until 12 years old, is I never had to actually produce or create something. And so I want my kid to be productive. I want my daughter to be productive. I want her creating, even if it's literally like painting me a picture, or, doing art and us putting it around the house, or, cleaning, or, cleaning out the car on the weekend and vacuuming it and doing something productive rather than just sitting there on her tablet and a phone. Sure, she does do that a little bit too, but she can put down her phone and create art for 5 hours on the weekend. Like, she has no like idea of just sitting still. And that's part of her exchange with us as a family. Like, we provide her house, her food, her schooling, all these things, but she has to exchange, or else she'll be out exchange. And that's when you get kids kicking and screaming and hating their parents because they were given everything and they weren't allowed to exchange. I'm not saying she has to go dig a ditch every weekend, right. But she has to be able to exchange. And of course, kids exchange with their love and, kisses and hugs. And that's part of the exchange too, but they have to feel like they're actually contributing. They want to contribute. The kid wants to help. The kid wants to do dishes until you say, no, I can do that. I'll do that myself, Or the kid wants to clean, and then you're like, no, I'll just do it. I'll just handle it. Let the kid do it as bad as they want to do it. Let the kid, we have to wash the dishes again when my daughter washes dishes, but she feels productive, So that's the type of thing that lesson has kind of helped me able to create with my own family, and also, in my business as well. Like, people have to produce, they have to contribute, they have to create and help us grow. We're too small to sit here and hire someone that isn't going to push the needle, further along.
Yeah. I just love the fact of the whole planting the seed of being an entrepreneur by just those things of asking you what you're worth. This is so, ties in so much to what we feel about ourselves, but also what we can do in the world. And I just love this. Oh my gosh. So why don't we turn a little bit more to what you're doing in Aaron's estate sales. So I know you have estate sales, you have auctions, and you have some other things going on. Why don't we unpack each one of those? Tell me a little bit about the auctions that you do and the kinds of services that you're providing for folks.
Yeah. So what we found was from the estate sales, like, we do a lot of business in the estate sales. We do about 300 homes a year that need downsizing services. And what we found is that they need other services alongside of that. Oftentimes, when we do an estate sale or when we get a call from a client, they will have a collection of higher end art, of coins, of jewelry, of things that really need a worldwide market and that shouldn't be put into an estate sale. So we've created a whole other company called Block Auction House that specializes in helping sell specific collections. Like, right now we're cataloging, which means photography and descriptions of a sports collection that a client had. That's going to be 400 lots of signed sports memorabilia. those things deserve an online market. So we put those online. We run them just like a standard auction would, where you have bidders and multiple different websites bidding against each other. And we achieve, you know, worldwide sales results where we can sell things all over the world through online auction. So that's what we do with there. And then because we do that, we've gotten a lot of other collections. You know, like right now I'm looking at in front of me, we have a bunch of slot machines and antique like games that we just brought in for auction. So that's sort of what we do in the auction. And then we also do cleanouts. The majority of our estate sales get a clean out afterwards. And so we have a whole separate division of our company that just focuses on helping people clean out properties so that they can put the properties up for sale or get them ready for whatever their next step is. So we do a ton of clean outs. We did about 150 clean outs of homes last year, just in Metro Detroit, Michigan. And so that's 150? A huge part of our business.
Yeah. That's amazing. So when you do that, I mean, are you literally like vacuuming, moving the stuff, all the stuff out and everything like that? I mean, what's all the details of that?
So after an estate sale, we'll remove every item. We'll donate whatever we can donate. Okay. And then we trash everything that can't be donated or, you know, and sometimes we work with partners like downsizing partners who mm-hmm. will help us recycle and reuse and get the items to different places. And then we also help people that just need the house cleaned out. It's not valuable enough to sell the items inside. They need the house listed quick. You know, they had a tenant living there and their stuff. So we'll just empty out the property. And yeah, we leave it broom swept, completely vacuumed, ready to go for its next step.
That's fantastic. I really like how you're really addressing all the different parts of this market, from the items that should go up to auction and knowing that you have this block auction company. That's fantastic. So now you really have that international component to your business. That's amazing, and opens up a lot of opportunity for you in terms of bringing in income and people together from all over the world, let alone spreading your name far and wide. And then the clean out services, that's fantastic. I mean, there's so many, you know, realtors and other people that are working in that space that this is such a valuable thing to, you know, just to network into that whole other industry and offer these amazing services. This is fantastic. This is way beyond what I even expected of an estate sale company. This is great. You're covering all the bases and just making full service.
Yeah, exactly. And we actually recently we purchased a real estate staging company called Stage Detroit. So we can really service the real estate industry full circle. So we can empty out the old stuff out of a property, stage vacant properties, or after we clean them out, we can stage them beautifully so that they can be sold. And you know what we're finding is there's so many people that we work with every year that they're also asking us to sell their house. So we've partnered and we are starting a real estate company as well in the next few months called Vie Realty, V-I-E Real Estate.
V-I-E Real Estate. Okay. Yeah. We have a lot more guests on the program coming up because I have been looking for a staging company forever. I'm not kidding you. Really?
That's amazing.
I haven't found one that I, yeah. Okay. Well, we have some other things that we'll be doing together in the future. So we'll be in touch on that. What I love here is another example for entrepreneurs out there who are watching this program is, you know, how you're going after these different markets and just creating and collaborating with other things, buying other companies that are already in play, and then pulling them into your umbrella network of the estate sale business. This is amazing. What has prompted you to, or what has it been allowed you to go and add these other things? Where did you have to grow to start, you know, doing some of these other kinds of things that you're doing? What was like kind of the tipping point or that part in, where did you get to as an entrepreneur where you started adding all these other things? What was it for you?
Yeah, I think that nothing would force me, like I was making decent money doing estate sales on my own, right? And I know a lot of other estate sale companies where they just operate it themselves. They do one estate sale or two estate sales a month, and that's good for them, you know? And I think that what drives me to grow my business is a purpose to help people and to provide for my family, my church, and my community by creating more. So that's the purpose that's driven me to growing is, hey, the money is not just for me. I think it's like, I've taken the viewpoint of like, it's super selfish to be like, I don't need a bunch of money. I don't need to grow my business. I don't need that. I'm good by myself. I have enough business as it is. I'm fine. All of those statements are me, 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 where I'm like, man, I would love to be able to build that park or, you know, help my family when something goes wrong. Like, there's all sorts of things, bad things happen to good people. And there's all sorts of things happen. You know, your grandma gets cancer, your cousin gets into a car accident, you know, like all these different things. So we have to produce an excess of funds so that we can support those around us and our community and our church. So that's where it's driven me to have to grow my company. Like, I have to expand, I have to keep growing because I want to help more people and I want to be able to do more for others. And when you shift that viewpoint, I think all of a sudden it becomes a requirement. It's more of a responsibility factor of like, mm-hmm. Hey, I have to grow this because it's my responsibility to do this, to be the one that's able to support, to be the one that's able to help, you know, when others can't. And so that's the thing that's driven me. And then obviously the other opportunities, I think that when you are producing and doing a lot, other opportunities present themselves. So you attract, and like we were talking about earlier with YouTube, we've been attracting a lot of people. I get 3 or 4 emails a week about people wanting me to help them start their own estate sale company. And so now we're kind of leaning into that as well. But it has to, like, you won't grow if you're just thinking about yourself. It just won't happen.
Yeah, it's kind of like you've shifted from leader to servant leader. I mean, that takes on a whole different kind of feel and perspective of the world. And it's that thing, you know, when we're entrusted with things, then we have to take on a new responsibility to, in, you know, bring those things to others. And I think this is great. I love hearing how that has shifted for you, because the more we can create, I mean, look at your company. It's like, I don't know, 4 times the size it was the last time I talked to you. And that was years and years ago. I mean, it's gigantic. And all the things you're doing, I think you maybe had a couple people working for you way back when. I mean, this was many, many years ago on Michigan Entrepreneur. We're now 19 years. But it's just fantastic to see what you're doing, because at the same time, you're growing other people by creating jobs, putting money back into the economy, spreading the word, bringing all these other companies into, you know, your umbrella of companies, which then there's synergies and then there's more efficiency and you can hire more people, because yours is not a job where AI is going to take over. People have to right. be at the estate sale. And that's another thing I love about your business. It has to be run by people. And can you say a little bit about the people that you work, that work for you? What are the kinds of qualities that your team shares? What are those things you look for, and what do they share and bring to your company? What are those great qualities?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have, you know, our values, and, you know, we need our staff to be transparent, goal-driven. We definitely, when we're hiring, we're asking people if they have goals. What are their goals? We want people that have big goals that want to grow with us. We want people that want to come here and grow the company and see themselves grow in the company. And I think that it's a challenge, you know, hiring and finding the right people. But there's so many great people out there. There's so many good employees and people that want to be a part of something that's growing and cool. So I think that, you know, I hear all the time from people that are saying, oh, there's no good people, you can't find people. And really what they're saying when they're saying that is they're saying, I don't know how to hire. They're saying, I don't know how to find good people. They're saying, I don't know how to have a good environment that good people want to come and work for. All of those things. And of course, we go through our struggles like everyone else, you know, every other type of business, because you're dealing with people. It's emotional. Like, it's a real thing. You know, it's not just, you know, and it's not as easy, because we're going into people's homes. It's a lot of work sometimes when we have to go and help a hoarder situation, or we're going into a family's home and they haven't cleaned in 15 years, or, you know, grandma passed away, like all these different situations. So our staff really have to have that purpose as well, to help and grow and have goals to be able to be here, or they don't do well here. They're like, wow, this is a lot of work. I don't want to do this. They're like, this house is disgusting. I'm like, yeah, I get it. That's part of the deal. Like, we're going into people's homes. We're helping real people with real situations. And obviously there's those homes that are multi-million dollar mansions, clean as a whistle. And then you have homes that are not, that also need help. And we want to help everyone. So we want to do both of those deals. So it takes a really strong team to be able to withstand, go through that process. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for obviously driven people, people that are excited, people that want to produce. We can't, like, people that just want to sit here and just kind of punch a clock and whatever, don't really work out here, you know, which there are those type of people. There are people that really want that. They just want to come in. They want to do an activity, an action over and over and over again, and then go home. That's not really what we're looking for. We're trying to go and expand across the nation. We want to expand. We want to go to a few different cities that we have our sights on. But to do that, we need our team. Like, it's going to be the team. It's not going to be me that's able to do it all, because I can't do it all. It has to be a strong team that is able to help us create that.
And you're involved in the most important and intimate part of anybody's life, which is their home, whether it's an apartment, whether it's, you know, living in an RV, whether it's living in a home. And it does take a certain type of person to even be able to go into somebody's home, because it is a connection with people on a very different level. It's not all about the objects in there. It's about their story. And sometimes the story is very sad when somebody passes away, or there's other situations going on, and, you know, maybe they're just losing their home and they have to put everything up for sale. So there's a lot that goes into that. And I do think it does take special people to do this kind of work. I mean, people are giving away their treasures. It doesn't matter if it's worth $1 million or $1. This is who they are, and it's a part of themselves. I mean, this is even looking at your site, it's very emotional to me, because I know what homes and objects mean, you know, to various people and myself. So yeah, it takes a special kind of person to do this kind of work. And I'm glad you have this huge team. I mean, it's like great. I was looking at the team picture. It was like, this is great. This is amazing. All these people are serving people to help them with probably one of the most difficult things in their life, which is either taking their, you know, selling their home and getting rid of it, getting rid of the things. This is such a huge transition point. And to be a part of somebody's story that way is really very touching.
Yeah, I agree. And we get to experience it every day. We get to go into these homes. We do about 5 to 10 homes a week. And I get to hear the stories of our sales managers working one-on-one with those clients through everything that client was either struggling with, or they were happy to get rid of, or, you know, the things that are so mean so much to them. And one of the beautiful things is that we get to find new homes, and those items get to live on and be loved by someone else. Like, it's not just going in the trash. Somebody's coming in, they're going to give you money, but they're going to continue the story of that piece. Like, people connect with objects so much, you know, and their things, that it becomes a part of who they are. You know, you get the people who collect different things, or, you know, the person who's been collecting railroad items for the last 50 years, and it's who they are. They're a train guy, you know, or they're a doll lady, or they're, you know, mid-century modern person. It just goes on and on with the things that people associate and love to have. So we get to tell those stories through the stuff every single week.
Yeah, absolutely. What a fascinating business. And I think we're going to probably have to have you on again, because I didn't even get to most of the questions that I have, but I have a little bit more time. So one of the questions I'd like to ask you is, as you've been running this business over the past, I don't know, is it 17 years, 13 years? I can't remember.
This is our 13th year.
What has been one of the biggest lessons that you've learned as an entrepreneur? What's been really something that stand out to you?
I would say, I mean, as you ask that question, so many things hit me. Oh, I gotta say this. But I would say that every single, like, it's not just, like, what happens as an entrepreneur is you're really good at something. I was really, really good at antiques and collectibles. And mm-hmm. I can walk into a house and tell you what every single thing is and pick out exactly what the value is. That's one skill set. As an entrepreneur, you need 1,000 skill sets. So all of a sudden, you know, finances and, you know, accounting, you need to know that. You need to be aware, because you can't be cause over it if you don't have the data. You have to be able to hire people and manage people and deal with people. You have to know customer service. You have to know, you know, websites. You have to know all these different skill sets. And I think that that's something I didn't realize for the first few years. And I was just bumping my head up against the wall, not realizing that I was just missing these different skill sets. So I spent a lot of time attaining these different skills. So I think that that's huge. And then the other thing, and I don't know, like, one of the biggest things is that you have to keep having wins. So you have to, even if it's a little project that you have a win on, you have to reinforce your wins. So when you do something successfully, you have to really acknowledge it. And when your team does something really well, you have to acknowledge it so much so that they keep on doing well. And I think that the little wins pull you through. And obviously the big wins are great, but every day, that little contract that you sign, that's a win. That customer who's like, oh my God, I love your estate sales. I love coming here. That's a massive win. And I take that and I just like rack them up in my mind. I'm like, we're doing the right things. We're getting, going in the right places. We just need to keep pushing, keep going. And so those are some of the things I think that I've learned, you know.
Yeah. And now, I mean, now you're on a whole nother level where you're acquiring other companies and integrating them into your whole, you know, portfolio, so to speak. I mean, it's just amazing what you have going on. I mean, we're going to have to do like 10 more interviews just to get through them all, which I'm happy to do. So, awesome. Because I love this area. So we'll be doing some more interviews, definitely. As we wrap up our time though, Aaron, which I hate to say goodbye, but if you could just give one piece of advice to entrepreneurs, what would that be?
Start with production, start with doing the thing instead of the planning. I think that I was successful in this business because I got my first estate sale job within the first 24 hours and I had to go right into production versus planning for months and months and months and months and months, figuring everything out, figuring out all the details. I'm coaching a company right now in Nashville. And this is my big, and I see them doing this. I see them planning and planning and planning. I'm like, we just need to go get our first job. Like, we just need to move right into production. And then that's going to force us to figure everything out. And it's also going to give us an early win that's going to help give us the fuel to keep going. So exactly. I really, like I said earlier, I think that the early wins are super important because they give you the money, they give you the, you know, the confidence to go and do it again and do it again and do it again. So that would be my biggest piece of advice is just go right into production, sell the thing that you're trying to do, go be forced to have to go figure it out and do not waste your time planning and planning and planning and planning.
Great advice. Couldn't have said it better myself. Do the thing, stop planning. Right, Aaron, I want to thank you so much for being a guest today. Aaron Sapirsky, owner, founder of Aaron's Estate Sales. Thank you so much for being a guest on our program. If you'd like If you'd like more information about our program, please visit us at www.michiganentrepreneurtv.com. Please join me again in the future when I interview another enterprising entrepreneur. Until then, wishing you the best of business.